Now, the gospel that I attempt to preach to you week in and week out, and I think really is the gospel, is substitution. Substitution. Christ's death at Calvary was a substitutionary death. He died as a substitute, and he made satisfaction to God with his death. Christ died in place of the guilty. And therefore, because he purged the sins of the guilty, because he answered the demands of God's holy justice, those for whom he died must be set free. I want to show you an illustration of that this morning in the death of Barabbas. The death of Barabbas. Matthew 27:16-15 says, "Now at that feast of the Passover, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner of their choice, whomever they would." They're under the government of Rome. This is the Roman official here. And he's doing this for the Jews. It's probably just a political gesture to look good in the sight of the Jews, keep them from having an uprising. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Barabbas was guilty. He was guilty of insurrection. That is sedition. That means he was a rebel. He rebelled against the authority. Caused trouble. Was a troublemaker. He hated authority and he rebelled against it. His name means his father's son. Our first father, Adam. Every man in this room, every woman, child in this room, your first father, Adam, rebelled against God. Made insurrection against God by one transgression. Just one. Before that, the law had nothing to say to him whatsoever. Before that, he was upright and God was his rule of life. He walked with God. He talked with God. He was directed by God. He was instructed by God. He had God's word to direct him. But the moment he rebelled against God with that one transgression, he went under the curse of the law. Separated from God because he rebelled against God. And you and I and everyone in here are our father's sons and daughters. That's what we are. Rebels against God. We are conceived with this nature. We're born with this nature. And by nature, we hate the authority. That's what Scripture says. The carnal man hates God. And we hate him by nature. And because there is no authority but of God, we hate all authority. Your children are born and you begin to teach your children. Try to teach them that which is right. And you do not have to instruct your children to rebel against you. Some of you are new drivers. You went through driver school and you learned all about the rules of the road and how to drive. Everything was taught to you was in accordance with that which is right. Nobody had to teach you. Nobody had to persuade you. Nobody had to, as soon as you got out of mom and daddy's sight, you watched that speedometer go right up over the speed limit. We rebel against authority. It's what we are. It's what we are by nature. Barabbas was guilty of robbery. He was guilty of robbery. Adam's one transgression was robbery against God. That's what it was. We rob God of His glory when we refuse to worship Him. We rob God of His honor when we refuse to believe His word. This word's true. You rob God of the glory of His honor by not trusting His word. We rob God using everything He's given, everything He's made to fill our bellies and to consume it upon our lusts and not having any regard to God. We rob Him. That's what the law of robbery, that every law God gave after that one transgression, every law He gave was to show the spiritual rebellion against God that we are. The law was given that the offense might abound, that we might see the offensiveness of that one transgression against God. Everything about that law, adultery, robbery, sedition, covetousness, everything is against God in that one offense. And we pass this on to our children. We make our we pass this on to our children, and we're guilty of the blood of the Son of God. Guilty of the blood of the Son of God by nature. Seditious, robbing, murderers. He was guilty of murder. That's what we are, murderers. Envy and hatred and anger and wrath and malice, they're all the same before God. They're murder. Murder before God's law. That's what we are, seditious, robbing, murderers. That's the substance of every man's heart by nature. Listen to the scripture. Out of the heart, there's the fountain. There's the fountain. You can get all the pollution out of the Mississippi River from Memphis down to New Orleans. But it won't do any good if the pollution's right back up there at the head of the stream. It won't help you at all. We can get all the pollution out of these hands and out of our feet and out of our eyes and reform to the point that we look like we've got it licked. But the sedition and the murder and the robbery is in the heart. There ain't but one that can fix that, and that's God Almighty. God Almighty, that's what we are. And just as Barabbas was captive, he was in prison. Because that's what we are by nature. We come forth in prison. We're captive, taken captive by Satan at his will. We're under the prince of the power of the air, children of wrath by nature. Wrathful children, hating God and hating one another by nature. And we're under the prince of the power of the air. And all Satan has to do to get us to do our bidding, to do his bidding, is just flatter us or offend us or whatever. And we'll be captive by him at his will, doing whatever he wants us to do. In bondage to our nature. That's why we can only do what our nature allows us to do. We're snakes by nature, and we'll do what a snake does by nature. Venom's under our tongue. We bite. We sting. We strike. That's what our nature is until God gives a new nature. You've got to give a new heart, a new nature. Then we're going to be captive to that new nature that He's given under the power of God. We're bound under the curse of the law. Scripture says, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. That's why God gave that law. That's why He gave that one law. I said to you, that law had nothing to say to Adam before he sinned in the garden. It had nothing to do with him. But once he sinned, there was nothing Adam could say. Because that law said to Adam, you're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. Now that's just how it is. You're guilty. And that's why the law was given. It wasn't given as a thermometer, a measuring stick, a rule. It was given to say, shut your mouth. You're guilty. That's what it's for. Barabbas was guilty, and the law demanded that he die. The law demanded he die. That's the case with every chosen child of God that was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we sinned in Adam, the law demanded they've got to die. We died spiritually when we were cut off from God in Adam. We came forth dead from our mother's womb. And we're dying physically, day by day, day by day, day by day. Since the first breath we took, we've been dying. And when sin has brought forth, when it's conceived and when it's brought forth, it's going to end one way. Death. Death. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's the curse. Death. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Let me get you to just envision a line here. Okay, there's a straight line. Let's say that top of that curtain right there. Let's say that's zero. That's zero, and everything above that's plus, and everything below that's minus. Adam started out at zero, upright, normal, natural. Could walk with God. He had no sin. He was perfect to be accepted of God. And when he sinned, he went all the way down. And the law, all the law was given that one offense to show us just how far down we went. Now, if you could do everything that law said, everything written in the book of the law, if you could do everything, big deal. All you've done is got back to zero. You don't deserve a reward for doing right. When's the last time anybody stopped you on the highway, a police officer, and gave you an award for doing the speed limit? That's not what it's for. If you did it all, it don't... So, we call everybody in this day and time is a hero. You know why? Because everybody's such a zero. If you do any little thing, you're a hero. These days. But if we did everything we're supposed to do, we've just done what we're supposed to do. That's all. Don't deserve anything for that. Well, that's the soul that sinneth, it must die. We can't get back to zero. We can't even get back to where we're just right. We can't even get to there. And God's law demands the soul that sinned must die. His law demands it, His holiness demands it, and His justice demands it. Gotta die. We got three strikes against us. His law, His holiness, and His justice. We gotta die. Every one of us sitting right here has got to bear justice. Every one of us. Now, you think about that long and hard. Think long and hard about that. Every sinner in this room who is without Christ is sitting in that jail cell with Barabbas, and you're on death row. You're on death row. If you don't trust Christ, if you're not believing Christ, you're sitting in a solitary confinement on death row. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. Is there any hope for Barabbas? Is there any hope for you? How can God be faithful to His holy law and pardon your sin and have mercy on you? The only way God's going to be merciful to you is if one is found to take your place. That's the only way. I got news for you. I got news for you. There's not a man among us, born of Adam, that's able to do that. Because we're all in the same boat. We're sinners from the beginning. But Christ the Lord is the perfect substitute. Christ the Lord's the perfect substitute. Look at verse 15, or verse 17. He said, "Now we got this notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom do you desire that I release unto you?" This is your choice. Now, who do you want me to release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew, Pilate knew, that it was for envy that they had delivered Christ. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife had sent unto him, and she said, "Don't have anything to do with this just man. He's just, and I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Pilate says he's not guilty. His wife says, "This is a just man. I'm tormented by dreams that we even have this man in jail, Christ the Lord." And Pilate saw this as an opportunity that he could release Christ and still stay in good standing with his superiors, because here's one that's so vile, so guilty, this man Barabbas, this robbing, murdering rebel against Rome. Surely these people will say, "Yeah, kill him. Crucify him, because this man Jesus hasn't done anything wrong whatsoever." Verse 20 says, "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus." These chief priests and elders, those who had the Word of God, who had the shadows and the types of the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets and the Psalms, who had been waiting for the Messiah to come, who had been looking for Him, whose word was the Messiah's coming, "Trust the Messiah, trust the Messiah, trust the Messiah," went all through the crowd and all through the people. These were the leaders, and they persuaded the people and said, "If they ask us who we want released unto us, you tell them to release Barabbas and destroy Jesus." If Jesus is the King and He's the Savior, these men aren't the King and they aren't the Savior. And they envied His glory. They envied the glory. They were rebels, murderers, robbers of God's glory themselves. They were just like Barabbas. Christ Jesus is the righteous substitute. This substitute must meet God's requirements, and He must be willing to die. He must be God so that He can satisfy eternally. And because it's a man that sinned, He must be a man like His brethren, like those for whom He dies. He's got to be perfect, sinless, spotless, holy, so that He can be the perfect, spotless, holy substitute. Or else He can't Himself take the sin of this people upon Himself. This is Christ. He's the God-man. He's God and man. And He knew no sin. In Him is no sin. In Him is no guile. In Him is no hypocrisy. He's what we saw in James this morning. He's that pure, peaceable, non-partial. He's that wisdom from above. He's that good and perfect gift that God gave. That's who He is. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. And this one was willing. This one was willing. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. God was in Christ. God providing Himself a Lamb. God in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He, God the Father, hath made Him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Look over with me now at Isaiah 53, verse 8. This substitutionary death means that this one has to be sinless. He has to be God who can accomplish eternal satisfaction. And He has to be man, because it's man that offended God. Got to be holy. He's the God-man, the perfect one. Is He willing? Is He willing? Look at verse 7. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For his own sin, for his own transgression, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He willingly didn't open his mouth, didn't defend himself. When they came to arrest him, you ever noticed in Scripture, when he was in the garden, and he said to Peter and the others, pray, ask God, lest you fall into temptation, they slept. They slept. He said, this is how you're going to be saved. Pray to God, ask Him. And they slept. When they came to arrest Him, instead of resting, they drew the sword. That's us, isn't it? That's our transgression. We won't obey God. We won't trust God. This is the transgression. He willingly submitted to those that came to take Him. Everything that's being done here, this is the Prince of Lies. He could speak and open the prison doors. He could speak and make the walls crumble. He could speak and take the breath from the life of these men. But He's willingly opening not His mouth, because He's taking the transgression of God's people. The transgression of those people that are God's, the Father's, and are entrusted to Him. He's doing it out of love for the Father and love for the brethren. And He is accomplishing their salvation on their behalf, in their room, in their stead. Now watch this. And He made His grave with the wicked, and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Look down at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It made satisfaction. It satisfied His justice and declared Him just in showing mercy to His people. It says here, He, the Father, hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. The Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, has a seed, a children He gave to His Son. And that chief seed, that son, that firstborn, to whom all the honor and glory goes, to whom the whole house was entrusted, this one went forth and doing the pleasure of God, doing the will of God, He willingly submitted Himself and laid down His life at Calvary's tree, being made sin for His people, that God might be just, that every transgression be paid, that every sin be paid, that every sinner be purged of his sin, justified, and the law now say, satisfied. That's what He did. And the Lord said, this is my pleasure. Because in this, I'm going to show mercy. He raised that firstborn son from the grave. He raised that seed, and in that seed, He raised all His children. And in that seed, when He prolonged His days, He prolonged the days of all His children to all eternity. He shall see of the travail of His soul. This is Christ birthing His children. This is Christ doing what no man ever did. He's travailing in His soul, and He's satisfied. By His knowledge, He's the wisdom and power of God unto salvation. And by His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. That's substitution. Now, back in our text, here's the third thing. The first thing, you're guilty. I'm guilty. I'm Barabbas, and you're Barabbas by nature. We're in the cell. We're captive. We're getting what we rightfully, justly deserve. Christ is the righteous servant of God. He's the righteous substitute that God sent to bear the transgression of God's people. Now let's see an illustration of substitution. Verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, Matthew 27:21. The governor answered and said unto them, which of these two men are you willing that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Now he's asking the whole crowd. He's standing up and they're all there together. The chief priests and the scribes have gone about and they've said, now they've told them what to say. And now he asks them. Pilate stands up and asks them. And they all together answer, Barabbas. It's a multitude of people here. Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? They didn't bring forth any evil that he had done, because they had none. But they weren't worried about what's right. They said, let him be crucified. They cried it the more, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, a riot was made, and was this thing was over, boiling over in the street. He took water, and he washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Now I want you to put you yourself in that cell with Barabbas. You're in that cell with Barabbas. You know what you've done. You know what you deserve. You know what you're about to get. You're on death row. You know that today is the day you're going to die. You're going to answer to justice today. And he's sitting there in that cell. Everything's quiet. And he hears all of a sudden in the distance a multitude of voices. And they're crying, Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. Clay, clay, clay. David, David, David. Scott, Scott, Scott. He listens. You see him going to that jail cell, and that door, that cell, and putting his ear up to the window. What's this about? Everything gets quiet. Whew. Maybe it's not today. And all of a sudden he hears another noise. Crucify him. Crucify. Crucify. Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. Crucify him. Let him be crucified. Crucify him. And he hears that jailer coming down the way. Those keys jangling. And he stops at his cell. And he sticks the key in the lock, opens up the cell door. And he walks over and he unlocks the shackles on his feet. He says, Barabbas, Scott, Clay, Vincent, you're free to go. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he's died in your place today. That's substitution. That's substitution. Verse 26 says, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Christ died for those chosen of God and given him an eternity. And every single one of those for whom Christ died, for whom he shed his blood at Calvary, he thoroughly, completely, fully, finally, forever, freely justified of all their sins, purged them of all their sin, accomplished their redemption so that they might go free. He accomplished it. And it's not possible for the law to punish him and then punish one for whom he died. They must be given eternal life. He bought it. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. With his stripes we are healed. That's the doctrine of substitution. That's the doctrine of particular redemption. That's the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed by divine revelation. Let me ask you something. When that jailer opened up that jail cell and he unlocked those shackles and he said, "Barabbas, somebody's dying in your place today. You're free, free to go. You're a free man." Do you think that jailer had to twist his arm to get him out of that cell? You think that jailer had to beg him and plead for him to come out of that jail cell? I bet you when he said those words, I bet you all it just looked like once he was there, next minute he's gone. He took off. Didn't wait around to hear another word. That's all I need to hear. I'm free. I'm free. My prayer for you who don't believe this morning is that the Spirit of God might enter into your heart like that jailer entered into that jail. And with the keys of this gospel of truth, the gospel of the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might take the veil off your heart and turn you and cause you to look in the face of Christ Jesus and behold the glory of God in your salvation. That's my prayer for you. And for you who know him, who have been made free indeed by Christ Jesus the Lord. Let's come now. Let's take this bread and this wine and let's remember our Redeemer who died in our room in our stead and accomplished our salvation. Amen.